Our reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 2, starting to read at verse 23. And you remember we're in the middle of a series thinking about lordship. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So, how do you feel about Sundays? Most Christians regard them, in theory at least, as the equivalent of the Sabbath, a day of rest. However, Sunday observance has changed drastically in my lifetime. Way back in the mid-1960s, as I approached the end of my teenage years, I worked on British Railways as a relief station booking office clerk. Of necessity, this included Sunday working. And for a period, I worked at Hortford Station and saw my parents in their Sunday best walk past on their way to our local church about a mile away. I was paid at the rate of a time and three quarters on Sundays, and most of it went in the bank to be used for a house deposit a few years later here in Snarbeck. So I didn't feel too bad about missing the main Sunday service. Sorry. As the wider public plays sports, shops, eats out, we've all had to decide what we will do and not do. What do we feel comfortable with? What do we think God expects of us? Anyone who is part of a church community knows about peer pressure. The reality is that church-going families wrestle with their children's Sunday sporting activities. Church attendance is falling in many places, and this is most apparent in rural parishes. I can look back over 48 years here, and around 40 years ago there was standing room only for the main 10:45 service. Well, over 1,000 years before the time of Christ, God had given the Israelites 10 commandments. By Jesus' day, the Pharisees had lost the principles of the commandments behind hundreds of petty regulations. Rules for keeping the Sabbath were detailed and numerous. So when the disciples walked through the fields with Jesus one Sabbath day, the Pharisees watched intently, eager to find some cause for complaint. They were threatened by Jesus' confidence, by his radical teaching, by his power, by the respect the crowds gave him. "Aha, look, they're picking some stalks of grain and rubbing off the husks. God, good. Let's rebuke him." They were concerned neither for God's honour nor for people's well-being. But Jesus was ready with his reply. He reminded them how David, on the run from Saul, broke the rules of the tabernacle. David asked the priest for bread for his hungry followers. Ahimelech gave him the only bread that was available, the consecrated bread that was set aside for the priests to eat. "You don't complain about David," Jesus implied. "Why complain now? Get your priorities right." The Sabbath laws are meant for people's good, not as a noose round their necks. And there are modern Pharisees in our day who, in their desire to honour the Bible and its truth, often fail to see that their very eagerness to maintain the letter of God's word overlooks his spirit of love and life. "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life," Jesus told the Jews, "and it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to to have life, as it says in John chapter 5, verse 39. And Jesus had not finished with these Pharisees. He tells them once again that he is the Son of Man. In other words, he is claiming that he is divine. Jesus had already claimed this when in Capernaum he had pardoned and healed the paralytic. There he had turned to the Pharisees who had entered into his own home, and he had said to them, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Mark chapter 2, verse 10. And he had then performed the miracle. On no less than 14 occasions in Mark's Gospel, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. In the whole New Testament, this phrase, Son of Man, occurs only on the lips of Jesus. And here also he states he is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Lord had not blessed the day for his own sake, but for the man and woman he had created. The Sabbath was appointed for their benefit, for their happiness, joy, and refreshment. So Jesus says here to these Pharisees, with his own disciples listening in attentively, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was God's gift to us, to the man and woman he had prepared to be his servants and workers on the earth. It was Jesus who inverted it. It was Jesus who set it apart from all the other 6 days of the week and so made it a holy day. It was not simply a day full of negatives, but a day to enjoy Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what the disciples and their Lord were doing as they walked together through the cornfield. We all need some regular quality time to spend with the Lord. Of course, we can and do enjoy the Saviour every day. But sometimes our days are full and our work is frustrating, so that our days are not very enjoyable. The Sabbath was made for man, so that for a whole day in every seven we can pause and spend more time with our Lord. He dominates the whole day. So in the book of Revelation, John tells us that on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, Revelation chapter 1. Jesus is Lord of the creation Sabbath. So the Sabbath is God's day of rest, set apart for us to refresh ourselves by both pausing from the daily grind and devoting ourselves to God. If Jesus is Lord, even the Sabbath, in this wider sense, then he is the Lord of every part of our lives. We know that we should dedicate our work to him. But he is also the Lord of our time off, which becomes our recreation. He fulfills our deepest wants for work, rest, fun, and love. The freedom he brings is not to make our lives comfortable or even free of rules, but to set us free to honour him with all our lives, Sunday and every day. All time now is Christ's time. He sustains all the world. We live and we die, not by accident, but at his will. He times the death of the sparrow and has made the appointment for the time every one of us will meet him. Just last Thursday, I was privileged to lead a service for a railway colleague who had died at the early age of 65. The Lord is going to call us to account for our stewardship of time. Your time is not yours to use as you please. It is a gift from our Lord Christ, to whom we are answerable for time as well as for all his gifts. Time goes, we say. Alas, no. Time stays, and we go. The disciples are present with Jesus on the Sabbath. They are going with him. That is what we are told. Levi is no longer collecting taxes. James and John are no longer throwing their nets out. A Sabbath is to be spent in the steps of Jesus. There is no resentment that the Lord has interrupted their work. Levi looks back at the time when he hurried along the street in Capernaum on the Sabbath to his tax collector's booth every day of his life. No one must pass except they first pay their customs duty. Levi now shakes his head with shame as he thinks of himself, how he used to live for that booth and the money he collected there. Now he can be with the greatest person in the world on a Sabbath. So what should you and I strive for? We shouldn't live for money. We shouldn't live for our jobs, whether paid or voluntary. We shouldn't even live for our families. We should live for our God, who became incarnate in his Son, Jesus Christ. I try and live by faith in this Son of Man who loves me, and I want my jobs and my rest, my 6 days of labour and my day of refreshment to all feed off him and be my service to him. What lies before me and you is the rest which the people of God are going to enjoy. And the best part of that will be that this Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, is going to be there. That will be heaven to be with him. Amen.